Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
This week on All of the Above with Norman Lear, Veep star Julia Louis-Dreyfus sits down with Norman and Paul.
Well, you know, there wasn't a script when I was first talking to HBO about it. There wasn't a concept. And my agent had said to me, listen, they're developing this thing at HBO about an unhappy vice president, an unhappy female vice president. And I thought to myself, well, I got to get in on this action because it's gold. And it's so amazing that nobody's done it before.
Listen today on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or on PodcastOne.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Ray Oldhoffer over
Adam.
What's going on, man?
I'm all right.
All right.
I'm good.
Well, we just wrapped up our TV show.
Had a
lovely experience. Everybody did a great job. So, let's see. Right, quick question for you.
Hold on. Uh-oh.
Were you using my table saw over the weekend?
No.
No. All right. So who was using my table, like doing cross cuts on my table saw? You want to think about it? At the shop.
I don't know.
No? Not you.
Not me. Swear to God.
Huh. Wait. So one by, so somebody was cross cutting like one by four on my table saw at the shop. I'll let you think about it. Last weekend?
I was there.
You were
and
there.
I did some mods
on the go kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I never turned the table saw on.
No table saw.
But it might be because Tom helped me, so it's a possibility that he was using it.
What was Tom doing?
He was helping me. I don't know what
was Tom doing.
Well, I brought over a bunch of wood, but I didn't use any of it. So when I left to go to Home Depot, there's a possibility that they made some cuts.
Okay. So Tom did the table saw.
What happened with the table saw?
The fence is taken off.
Oh. All right.
No?
No, not me.
Not you.
No.
All right. We got to get Tom. Get Tom on the blower. I've got to find out what's going on over
here. Wait, is the fence gone?
No. It was just removed and laid across the top of the thing. And the blade was raised up.
That's not good.
You would know, Ray, if it was you.
If it was me, I'd say it was me.
Maybe you would.
No, definitely I would.
Okay.
What do I not fess to? How's that?
We have a bust of Clint Eastwood's head sitting out front. And when it showed up here, I asked you 11 times, where did you get it?
I got it.
You gave me a weird story about, like, I just got it. And later on, you told me the truth about how you got it. Would you call that an instance of lying?
Sure.
Okay. Well, then now we know you're capable of lying.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now how do I know when you're lying would be the reasonable question.
We should go back to the table saw one.
All right, go back to the table saw.
I used it.
We got to get Tom on the line.
Yeah, Gary's reached out to him.
And see what he says. All right, we'll get to the bottom. I'm just curious. You got to understand.
What's the other guy's name? Shant?
Sean, yes. I own a shop, and I show up at the shop, and stuff is done at my shop. Like, doors are left unlocked, windows are open, lights are on, and stuff like that. And as the guy who owns the shop, I just want to know who did it.
That's my thing.
I show up, and stuff is, like, undone, and people are gone. And I go, who did this? Because I'd like to talk to them about it so it can't happen again. Or, like, well, not that it can't. But I'd like to prevent it from happening again. But the problem is nobody seems to know who did things, which is interesting because I then always say, So you're telling me some burglar, like, picked the lock, came in here, turned on the lights in the hallway and left the microwave door open and then snuck out without stealing a thing. Is that what's happening? No, that's insane. All right. No,
but he also took the fence off, too.
Don't forget that. So that premise is out the window. Now, somebody who works here must have done something, and I'd simply like to find out who it was so I could explain to them why it was a bad thing and hopefully prevent it from happening again. That's all. All right, so you say Tom.
I'm saying Tom or Shant.
Tom or Shant, who you keep calling Shant, which is his name, but he goes by Sean.
Okay.
Because he's one of the good ones. All right, I'll tell you one of the good ones. Flex Wash. Home Depot has a new Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry. It's a washer-dryer pair. You can wash two loads and dry two loads at the same time in the same machine so you don't mix different colors and different fabrics. It's Flex Wash. It's got a large capacity, lower washer for everyday washes. And then the additional washer, which is up top, separate for colors and delicates. It's nice. Flex Dry, got the large tumble dryer for the everyday items, and then the flat dryer for the delicates. Why didn't anyone think of this earlier? It's genius, I tell you. Both are Wi-Fi connected, so you can set start times, you can start the machine, you can do it remotely. It'll alert you when the load is done and finished. This is genius, everybody. Let your smartphone in on the washing machine. Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry available at Home Depot. That is Home Depot. All right, we got questions up here.
I'm going to go check that thing out. I want to just see it.
I do too.
You want me to pull up the commercial? I saw it on TV last night. It's
yeah,
really cool.
I'd like to see it. And it's also, next time I go to the Home Depot over there, man, I got to get some, I need some grout haze remover, Ray. What do you think of that?
They have it. It's even called that, grout haze remover. No joke.
Is that a Home Depot item?
I think so.
All right. How to properly.
Wait, where did you grout?
I grouted my floors.
The terrazzo?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's got a haze on it. Anyway. The currency.
Hey, by the way, cheesecloth works really well too.
With the haze or just cheesecloth?
Cheesecloth alone. Try it alone first.
I got the cheese. I got the cheese, and it's not exactly
elbow grease
doing
bro.
The job. Yeah. Well, I don't have a lot of that. All right. All right. We saw the commercial. Looks amazing. The Flex Wash. Let's see. Properly measure baseboard while including angles. Okay. Hey, Joel, 25, Las Vegas.
Get it on.
What's going on, man?
So, me and my wife just bought our first house last week, and we, of course, got in over our heads very quickly.
Hold on, Joel. Let me interrupt you. Winner! Winner!
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
What's going on, Winner?
So we did floors, ripped out all the base, painted. We did the vinyl interlocking floors. It's actually harder than the pergo stuff, the laminate stuff. But anyhow, I started to lay down the baseboard and I've got, 50% of it laid okay. But I found myself measuring, going for my cuts and then coming up short or coming up too long based on the angles. And I was horrible in school. So, I'm hoping there's not a correlation, but is there a method to measuring and then measuring, because when you cut your angle off, you're cutting not just on a straight line. Do you guys have any tips for that? Because it's just really frustrating.
Yeah, it happens a lot when you're like a rookie because there's just weird stuff you don't get, you don't know. So there's a few things I'll give you for example. Like, let's say you're coming from an inside 90. So you laid the one piece along the one wall, and now you got to cut the next piece. And instead of measuring that piece, let's just say it's a 7 foot piece or 7'3" or whatever it is. Instead of measuring that, take your 8 foot piece of baseboard, put your angle on it, the right angle, slide it in. Get it nice and snug. Get it where the gap's good and how you'd want it. Then go to your outside 90 mark or 45 mark and mark it in place.
Mark
like right off
place,
the edge of the baseboard.
Okay.
off the edge of the wall, like the corner B. Like, mark it after it's tucked in. Because it's really hard to figure when you do your tape how the thing's going to seat, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yes.
And then it can vary.
Measure it, cut your 45, and then as you move along, do the next
thing.
One that way. All right.
Oh, that's a good idea.
All
like,
right.
don't put it the one like when Adam's saying when you're doing the 290s together, don't necessarily put that one in. Now mark the next one and do it all dry before you start nailing it too.
All right, we got to get to the bottom of fence gate.
Uh oh.
As Gary's labeled it so cleverly, Tom.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, what are you working on over at the shop?
I just got the tilt and brake assembly up in the dash. I'm actually just dialing in the brakes now. I'm up on my pressures to a pretty good range where I want to be 800 PSI up front. I'm pushing almost 5 in the rear, so I'm getting in the ballpark of where I want to be.
He's working on Paul Newman's GT1 championship car from 1985.
This is the 84 car.
Well, hold on a second, smart pants. This is why I need to punch less, because when he made the display plaque out, yes, it's a car that came off the assembly line. It was a car that was made in 1984, but it won the 85 championship. So I keep wanting to say Paul Newman's 1985 championship car, and then Lassa over the Dotson place goes, it's an 84. And I go, yeah, I know, but it won. Just trying to get a distinction here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
yeah, I got you.
It's the 85. We have the 85 and the 86 championship car, right?
Yes, yeah, and so they're 84 and 85 for years.
That's
yeah,
right. So you're working on the 85 championship car, and you're working on the brake assembly. All right.
Yeah,
so
we had to redesign the pedals. They were all the pedals had a curve to them. We had to straighten them out, and of course you're tall like I am, so we got to keep the pedals towards the firewall but still get the swing we want. So we just basically redesigned the whole brake system on it in the last couple of days.
All right, so now fence gate. So as I showed up on Monday, I said, were you cutting wood over at my table saw? Because here's my thing in life, Tom, as you well know, and Ray, as you well know, use all the table saws you'd like in my world. Simply put them back to how you found them. The blade was all raised up, and the fence was weirdly pulled off and laid astrewn atop the thing, which is a weird thing because it's a big Biesemeyer fence. I'm not sure why you'd remove it, but I certainly am more confused as to why you wouldn't put it back. But Ray says he did not do that.
Tom, I think you have a bad phone connection. You all right there, buddy?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
No.
I'll go outside.
So
I'm outside.
Ray
now.
Did not do that, as discussed moments ago. So now that leaves you or Sean.
Okay. I don't know. Is Ray bullshitting us here?
I would assume he is. Who did you use the table saw? I don't know you to use the table saw.
I didn't use the table saw for anything. So
all right.
Know,
well, now we have to talk to Sean because now these were the only people there.
Ask Tom to pass the phone to Sean.
Yes. Can you pass the phone to Sean? This is how I get rich.
Here, hold on.
This guy's get $100 an hour combined, and I got to spend. I got to get to the bottom of fence gate with
Hello?
Him. Hello, Sean.
Yes, sir.
Sean, I know you to be a man of exquisite integrity, even though you're Armenian. I should stop always adding that.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Did you use the table saw on Saturday or Sunday of last weekend? No, you did not.
I did not.
All right. So now,
no,
Ray, we have a problem because we have
guys. Sean, when I was there, we were together on Sunday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did I use the table saw? You were there the whole time I was there.
I was not. I was in the shop, so I couldn't say if somebody used a table saw out there or not. So
all right, did I ever go turn that corner? Did I ever make that 90 back there? No.
Well, I mean, I wasn't, trying to keep an eye on all you guys.
He was in the shop.
Maybe I should have.
Okay, all right.
All right, Ray, is this seriously going to have to continue? I mean, do I have to keep going and interviewing people?
Listen, I would tell you if I used a table saw.
I thought we established the fact that you did or would lie in the past.
All right, let's get a fucking, okay, call up another guy and we'll do a lie detector. I didn't use your table saw.
All right, so you were there on Saturday, but you did, or Sunday,
no, but
you,
Sunday.
Did, you did not
use. Was it
an
84 or an 85?
You did not use the table saw.
Did not use the table saw.
All right, well now, who used it?
I don't, you know what? I say, is Gary there?
No, Gary's out.
All right.
All right. Somebody used, who would use a table saw? And it's weird because it's a little bit scary, and using it without a fence is weird.
It's way scary.
And raising the blade all the way up and doing weird cross cuts on it is weird. Now it's one by cross cuts.
It ain't me, bro. Promise.
Okay. All right.
Besides that, I'd use a chop saw for that.
Well, the chop saw's not out.
Okay.
All right. But you would have used a chop saw.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we have to check the surveillance camera.
There you go.
Check the surveillance camera. We got to figure out who did this. All right. So you can
I
tell.
Swear to you, it's not me.
Well, I believe you. If you
all
swear
right.
to me, it's not you. I got a problem. You came there on Sunday. You were working with wood. The table saw is taken apart. Tom and Sean weren't working on it and with wood, and those are the only people I saw there. So I can't think of who. It's not one of the, you know.
And besides that, to take that fence off, the fence is heavy. And I would remember taking the fence off if I was to use a table saw.
Well,
right?
You would remember if you
and
use
it. Put it
right,
back.
We're talking about 3 days ago. You think you'd remember, unless you're doing bath salts, if you went to the table saw and turned it on. This thing probably could have been solved almost immediately by you going, I absolutely never even turned that saw on. I never went that direction.
I didn't turn it on.
Okay. If you were a little more definitive at the beginning, I would have believed you. You were a little wishy-washy at the beginning.
I think the table saw in the back may not have an angle.
Oh.
I'm looking at it right now. I mean, there's an area where you would walk by to get there, but the saw itself, not so much.
Oh, well, I'll take bodies that walk by because we see Ray and then we see some rogue table saw thief going in there. Then we'll know. Gary, I didn't know you could get it that fast. I thought you had to go to Rob or whatever. You're good. Look at you. On his phone. On his phone. Hey, there's a dude that looks like me who goes there and beats off and cries on Sunday, but it's not me, even though the guy looks
that
like
guy?
Me.
I have a strict rule that I only check it during business hours.
Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, Sean?
Yes, sir.
What are you working on?
I'm working on the project car.
Good. That's
doing the steering.
86 GT1 championship car. Let's get that done. I want it running by the end of the week.
Okay, I'll try.
Thanks, Sean.
Do you have a race coming up?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, there's two cars, 85 championship car, 86 championship car. When I got them, there were basket cases, and I've been putting them back together. Now, at the beginning, it didn't really make sense because those cars, to put them back together, it varies, but it's more than $100,000. Sometimes $300,000 or $400,000 to put them all back. Depends on what's going on, where the engine is. Blah, 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 blah,
now, do
blah,
you
blah,
have
blah.
Like the schematic of what it was originally, and you get all the original like parts for it? I mean, how does that work out? Or do you have to fabricate stuff for it? I mean, how does it? It's a race car, so it's a one-off, right?
Right, right. Yeah, you take the whole thing down to the tube frame. Gary, I feel like it's got to be Sunday. I was there on Saturday, and I actually did some free-handed, some baseboard on the table saw on Saturday. But I did not take the fence off. I just got it out of the way. All right.
This is really getting
And you. The blade is so high. I wouldn't have raised the blade to do half-inch. My whole thing, and by the way, tip for everybody, don't make that blade any higher than it needs to be. It's just you're upping your chances for trouble. If you're ripping 3/4 inch ply, just crank that thing up to about 7/8 of an inch and push it through that way.
Don't, yeah, but when you're
some
ripping,
people just bring it all the way up to like 3 inches and they just keep doing it.
But I will bring it up if I'm cutting like flimsy Luan because the Luan's
yeah,
flimsy.
Yeah, if you're doing
so you
something that's flapping around.
Bit. Yeah, and yeah. then if you're distance away, then you got to
right.
bring it up.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you. So I'll tell you how you do these cars in a second. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Buy the milk, pick up the dry cleaning, go to the Ace Man shop under the cloak of night, and screw with his table saw fence. How about you add this to your list? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to drop anything off or pick anything up. Just go to geico.com, 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Put a little extra money in your pocket. What do? Go to geico.com, spend a couple minutes, figure out About 15 minutes. Save up to 15% on your car insurance, maybe even more. It is GEICO. All right. So you take these cars apart. You take them down to their bare tube frame. They just look like a sand rail dune buggy or something when they're all down to their tube frame. And then you straighten out this tube frame. It's a whole host of like inch and a half. Yeah. Tubes, bent, roll cage, bent around where
like
the dash is.
Like gussets and everything else, too.
Like pickup points for suspension and engine mounting and just a bunch of pickup points for suspension. And just like, but it's just a tube frame monstrosity. You take the whole thing out. You take everything off it. You probably weld, repair, sometimes even replace little sections of it and things that have been damaged, smashed over the course of racing or have somehow deteriorated with rust or whatever it is, weld up some holes that have been like yoked out. And, you know,
now, when you're welding up stuff, do you have to go like both sides so the thing doesn't bend? And then how do you know if that frame's true? Do you, is it lasered or what do you do?
Nah, you have to put it normally on some sort of big metal jig buck thing that's totally flat and level and straight and whatever. And you have to bend it, basically straighten it, get it flat. You know, it gets tweaked and bent and warped and stuff like that. And so you have to start off of just a flat, like, jig.
Dead nuts.
Just a dead nut surface. And then you, like, they're doing the Hubble telescope mirror or something. Just something super flat, super true, super level. So you know when you're hanging your suspension that it's not up a half inch on this side of the car and down on the rear, you know. So you have to get all that knocked out. Then you have to take, you know, then you send the engine out. Send it to some engine builder. You know, guys who do these specifically, not just whoever's on the corner. They do that. Take the transmission out. If it's a Wiseman transmission, you send it back to Wiseman. You know, let them rebuild the transmission.
So it goes back to its origin.
Send the rear end back to the rear end place. You know, the place that does the rear end. So send all the stuff out. Then you start going through the car, doing all the brake lines, rebending all the brake lines, reflaring them, redoing them, you know, rebuilding the shocks, getting the new brake calipers and disc and finding out what old stuff works and can be rebuilt and what stuff doesn't work and they don't make anymore and blah, 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 drive shafts, everything. And then you start a lot of fabrication, like a lot of sheet metal fabrication, sometimes a lot of fiberglass, like body fabrication. Sometimes they have molds from the old stuff. And you just start, you take the whole frame and you powder coat it when you're done with everything. And then you just start putting everything back together.
With the fiberglass stuff, do you send that out too? Or can you do that?
We can't really. We can do a repair and little bits and pieces, but you basically send that out to the fiberglass guy. And then you get all the stuff. And then you start hanging the fenders and everything on the stuff and put the Zeus fasteners where the little pickups are and do all that. Start piecing everything together.
It's pretty amazing.
Eventually, the engine, transmission, all the mechanic gets the paint job, and then you have to go through the reproduction of all the stickers, the old decals, and how it would have looked and what the sponsors were and blah, 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 blah. And you put all that back on the car, and then you're ready to go. Yeah. All right. Line.
And then, wait, how bummed are you when you crash these things, by the way? I mean, you got to be like, are you kidding me? I mean, even if you do a fairing or you scrape something up, it's got to be, come on.
It
goes with the territory.
You really have to be philosophical about it. It kind of is what it is. Like, you just, if you're going to race it, you have to accept that that's a possibility. And, I haven't gotten to too many scrapes, but I've blown up some engines and hit a concrete barrier and been off the track.
Because I saw you in that vet and you were going, what, how fast? And you did
it's going 160 and change at one point in that car. But the other thing about that, they don't tell you. Like, you can go 160 on the way to Vegas. You got a brand new Audi RS7. You can do it. It's not going to feel like that much because you'll have the windows rolled up and the car's nice.
Yeah.
Sound deadening. You get in those cars, there's no windows. And there's no sound deadening or anything. It's just like a weird metal box that you get in with no windows. So when you get going 160 miles an hour in those cars, first off, it sounds like the engine's going to explode.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you feel every vibration, everything that's going on.
Your body is shaking. I remember you guys started up the Newman car over there, and I wasn't prepared, and I was on the phone. It started. It scared the hell out of me.
Yes.
It got me.
Yes, those cars are scary when you start them. Hey, John, 37, Connecticut.
Hey, Sam. What's going on, Ray? How you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm doing like a landscape patio stone. Basically about the size of a brick, like a paved stone, and I just kind of separating the mulch from the yard and looking for what kind of like concrete or cement or whatever I can kind of put behind it so that way when I'm mowing it, the bricks don't move.
Mm-hmm. So you want to do a little concrete border. People get mad at me because I say cement or cement pilast or something. It's concrete. It's concrete. Yeah, I know it's concrete. All right, so
concrete as aggregate, mortar as just sand.
Right, but in this case, you would be using concrete. So just for the haters out there, so you want to do a little border that's going to keep things in place.
Correct.
All right, and so Ray, how wide and how deep should this thing be if you're pouring that curb?
How big are your blocks that you have?
They're about the size of a brick. So was it 3x8 or something?
Yeah. He said it.
Yeah, so I would just dig out like a small little footing, just about the same size, but maybe about 4 inches deep, pour concrete in that, then set the brick on with mortar on top of it. So we never go anywhere. You got a lot of work to do.
Well,
for just like a ribbon that's going to be, you know, a definitive line.
It's already about 90% done. I just didn't put concrete underneath.
Okay,
I
now you want to put concrete.
Well, you got to put concrete
along the back.
Well, now he wants to put it behind it so it won't push out or blow out.
Exactly. So when I'm hitting it with the lawnmower, it'll keep it from moving. Do you think that would work?
It probably will work. And what I would say is, why don't we go 4 inches wide and like 6 inches deep or something? You want to? We don't need to toss a piece of rebar in there. Or want to?
No.
One long piece or something.
You
in
could.
The middle? It's not going to hurt.
It's not going to hurt.
You don't
it,
need
no.
number four. You could use like number three, right?
Yeah.
The 3/8.
Yeah.
Just float it in the middle.
Throw it in the middle. Bury it.
Yeah.
Just so it won't break apart.
Yeah.
So use the cement with the aggregate in it then?
Yes. Like
the
that's called concrete.
The pre-mix.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just call it concrete. Yeah. Use the pre-mix stuff. Yeah. You could do it. Get a piece of number three rebar. Just put it in the middle. Go down about 6 inches. Go out about four or so. That'll work.
You'll be okay.
Okay, cool.
All right.
That worked.
Godspeed, man.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Thank you, John.
Love you. Gary, find anything?
Not just yet. The app on the phone is really not good, so I'm having Rob try to see if he can do it from the centralized computer.
That's how I get rich. Now, who the hell was back there? Now, there is...
There's a possibility that Rob might have done it, and so he's checking it out, and he's going to say, nope.
There is Jacob. Jacob's our editor. Who there's a new breed. Nick Offerman employs all these guys. New breed of hipster woodworker, like ironic woodworker guy. Most of them are douchebags, but not Jacob. But there's a Jacob. I've seen him back there, like on his lunch break, trying to make stuff. He wanted to make himself like a hat rack or something. It looks like shit. But I don't really say anything because I'm so happy that there's just someone under 35 that's attempting to do anything. So it's kind of cool. He's got like, you know, 2x6s and he's cutting it out with the wrong tool, but he's trying to make like legs and stuff. And I just like anybody doing anything.
I think you hit the nail on the head because who's going to put that blade up that high? See what I'm saying?
Well, it's a,
because people who know. And people who've done, and then you take the fence off, and of course, like if you're not a guy who's, you know, this is not his acumen, so boom, he leaves the fence off.
Jacob messing with the
fence.
I don't know. I was down there on, I was down there on Saturday. I was doing.
You want me to have Rob ask Jacob?
Baseboard. Rob can ask.
So it would have to be who was there between Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yes. I got
there. And you said the fence was on when you did the base.
I did. Well, here's what I'm saying. I don't claim to have the greatest memory. I just sort of know me. And I had this bass, and I had this bass that was about, here's a little tipsy for you guys. I had this bass that was about 3 1/4. And I'd popped all the bass off to do the terrazzo tile. Right?
Gotcha.
And so I had this thing where the terrazzo tile was set up elevation-wise. The material itself's 2 foot by 2 foot. It's kind of weird. Jacob says it wasn't him. It's kind of weird that the terrazzo tile's like 1/4 thick. It's thin for how big it is. And then there's a fair bit of like thin set material under it. Probably kicks the whole thing up a week 3/8 and elevation wise.
Right.
And so I had this one corner that led into a small hallway to my bedroom, where obviously now the new base was going to be kicked up 3/8 of an inch where it met the old base on this corner, because one was at the old elevation. Now we've raised the elevation.
Right.
So I was, yeah, obviously that's no bueno, putting 1 3/8 of an inch into a corner, an outside corner.
No.
1 3/8 taller than the next. So I was like, all right, well, what we'll do is we'll lay all the tile, and then I guess we'll just rip 3/8 off all the baseboard. I'll just take the baseboard to the shop, set up the table saw, and just mill it all down. And then I thought, came around on Saturday, and I thought, oh, fuck it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Raise it.
No, I can't raise the other stuff. The other stuff goes all the way around and has to meet everything.
Right, what are we gonna
do? Well, how can you raise it, right? Now there's going to be a gap underneath the other stuff all the way around. What I did is I just went, it's paint grade. House is kind of a piece of shit. I said, fuck it. I'll just go from 3 inches, and I'll just rip it up to 0 over the course of 6 feet, and it'll just go away.
Can't see it?
First off, you think Lynette's going to bust my balls on it or something? No.
Honey, what's with this reveal? Do you see this?
No, you can't. How can you see it? It's 3 inches on a white baseboard on a white wall on the floor. It's 3 inches going to like 3 1/4 over 5 feet.
Look,
if you want to come into my house and stare at it, you'll find it. But other than that,
if you're walking by,
you're not looking at it. You're up here at 6 foot.
Yeah.
It's down on the floor.
You're not seeing it.
And then also nobody's going to see it. It's in kind of a tight, it's in a hallway. And then thirdly, by taking this one piece and ripping it 1/4 inch to 0, I saved myself the process of having to rip every single piece of baseboard, because once I got back up to 3 1/4, then from that point we took off, which is how every human being should think, by the way. Let it begin with lazy. I did not want to rip all the stuff down. So I took the one piece to the shop. Everything was kind of a mess over there in that neck of the woods. Remind me to tell Rob to oh, no, wait, I've told him 1,800 times to clean up that air. Just clean it. Just clean it. I never want to bring it up again. Just clean it. Go through it. Just clean it. I was on the roof. Yeah, get off the roof. Clean this. I was working on a solar panel. I'm not interested. Didn't tell you to do that. Just do the stuff I tell you to do. Then you can move on to that stuff. Anyway, I was there cleaning on Saturday as well. But I went to the table saw, and this piece of base that doesn't really require much, and I slid it out of the way because I just needed enough room to freehand this thing. 1/4 inch. If you want to do 1/4 inch to 0 rip, you basically freehand it on a table saw.
No other way.
Draw. Yeah, I mean, there's a way that involves a saw guide and clamps and a kind of a mess and a bunch of hassle. But if you're halfway decent,
you can freehand.
You just take it, fire up the blade. You have to. It's sort of like backing up with a trailer. Sort of like you move to the left and it goes to the right. Like it's a kind of a weird move. I just drew a line from 1/4 inch to 0 over the course of like 4 or 5 feet, and then I just fired the thing up and I just kind of freehanded it through there. It's never going to be perfect if you're doing it that way. And then what I did is I pulled out a Sureform and I just kind of hit a couple high spots, straighten it out. And what I was doing is I was wait a minute.
Oh,
I was laying it out on the top of the table saw rail. I was looking for a clean line, a clean straight line to set it down that was true so I could see where the sure form was. Was it I that removed that?
I think it might be.
This is a revelation.
This is a revelation.
I could have moved it to get my straight line.
Because you had to lay it out flat.
Edge to do it.
And the fence was in the way.
Now, I wouldn't have put it back because the whole place is a mess, and I want them to clean out the whole place, oil up the clean everything, oil everything, and maybe used it.
You used that as your straight line. That was your work surface.
It's my straight line, and then I may have. Now, we still haven't gotten to the blade.
No, I'm pretty sure. Oh, that's true.
The blade rise is a weird one. Now, I may have, because my whole thing is I got to douche out this whole area. We got to clean everything. We got to, like, oil everything and wipe it down and get it back going again. But the blade rise.
And the table, though, and to put your base flat, that makes sense.
That
you could have taken the fence off.
The straightest part on the table saw is this big, long metal rail that the fence goes across.
Right.
And I wanted to see the high parts of my free-handed rip, and I set it down, and I was looking at it.
Right. You were looking for a gap.
For a gap. I think you owe me an apology, Ray. Interesting.
Hey, Ace, I'm sorry.
All right. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, Ray. All right. We'll still look at the video.
What about the blade? Would you have had it that high?
That feels...
For some weird reason?
It feels very unlike me to...
But it's easier to see.
A blade. Now, I would not have raised the blade. The blade could have been all the way up, but it's still... Doesn't explain the 1x4 that somebody was cross-cutting there at a later date. That person could have raised the blade and left the fence alone. Gary, yes.
I was wondering, should we still be reviewing the tape? Because we don't have a shot of the actual saw, so we're not going to be able to determine who actually raised it or removed the fence. We're just going to be able to determine who walked into that area.
Yeah, well, I'd still be curious.
I've got him looking right now.
I've got him looking right now at Sunday. I'm just wondering if you want me to modify the instructions at all.
No. We still have to see who walked back there and raised the blade and did their cross cuts and left all that stuff alone. All right. The mystery moves on with some clarity. Tommy John, spring cleaning. It starts with your underwear drawer. Tommy John, 21st century underwear. I'm wearing them right now. State-of-the-art design. Patented fabrics eliminate bunching and squishing and riding up. Plus, complete line of evolved undershirts, form-fitting. They stay tucked in. You get most undershirts, you sit down once, you stand up, and they're all untucked. Now, Tommy John stays tucked in. It's a beautiful, lightweight design. Socks, too, stay up. The shirts stay down, and the socks stay up. Backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It is Tommy John. It is simply the best. You'll never go back. The best thing I can say about Tommy John is once you wear your first pair, you shall never go back again. It is Tommy John. Matt.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and save 20% on your first order with promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
Defying gravity.
Good stuff. All right, where the hell were we? Can't get wallpaper off paneling. Should just try wallpaper off. Oh, paneling. I don't know, Ray. I feel like you know about this. Hey, Craig, 41.
Hey, what's happening?
What's going on?
Not too much. I've got some probably like 1960s wood paneling.
Uh huh.
That's up in a bedroom, and they wallpapered over it, and I can't get the wallpaper off. And I'm afraid to use the steamer on it. I don't know.
How'd you try to get the wallpaper off?
Because it looks like shit.
It's
falling off and...
Yeah, I got you. People got to use your brain a little. I'm not asking you why do you want the wallpaper off. I'm assuming it looks like shit. Or I'm asking how did you try?
I tried pulling it. I have a steamer, but I was afraid to use it on the wood paneling.
I got that part.
I was just afraid it would make that a mess.
All right.
What about?
I'm trying to ascertain the techniques he used to remove it so we can answer the question. So far, we just got pulling it. That's not all right. Now there's other things we can do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Craig?
I was able to get like a 2-foot by 2-foot piece after like 4 hours.
Why don't you use some wallpaper removing, in the hot water and the Hudson sprayer?
Yeah, the sprayer.
Why not do that?
Is that going to screw up the paneling?
No.
Make that a mess?
No.
No.
Well, you're going to have to redo the paneling, right?
Maybe, maybe not.
Wait a minute. You put wallpaper over paneling. Don't you have to repaint the paneling?
I didn't do it. Yeah. Well, I was going to.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Can you imagine living with Craig?
Let's say.
I didn't do it. Okay. I mean.
First of all, you got to get it off, and whatever the finish is, it is. And you're not going to wreck it necessarily with the steamer. Try it on a low corner. Or even get like a clothing steamer and loosen it up that way and then peel it off and see what it looks like.
But. Craig, you have paneling that you're going to have to probably scrape a little, prime and paint or something, refinish, because it's got wallpaper adhesive and stuff on it. You're not going to just make it pristine.
Yeah, it's going to look like shit.
Well, yeah, hold on.
I was thinking of going over it with quarter-inch drywall.
Oh, then why do you, if you're going to go over it, then why are you taking
Craig,
off the wallpaper?
Craig, what do you do for
just
a living?
I hope it
just drives a truck in a circle. I wouldn't even like it if you're going from destination to destination in a truck. I'd be pissed. What do you do?
I'm a project manager for a general contractor.
Oh, my God.
Really?
How do you talk? Can you communicate with subs and things? It's got to be difficult.
I can, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
I let the subs do their talking.
Understood.
All right.
You need to remove.
All right, picture's 1,000 words.
But please listen to me. You want to remove this wallpaper because you would like to keep the paneling behind it, and you'd like to keep it in good shape. Yes?
I want a clean finish when I'm done with the room with the least amount of work possible.
Understood.
Then why are you taking the wallpaper off?
I don't know, because I didn't want
to. You already said you wanted the drywall. Just take some 3/8 drywall and throw it over. Throw it on top of it.
Go over it and be done with it?
Yeah.
Well, the room's going to get thicker by the width of a playing card, so you got that to deal with.
Yeah, and
it's gonna be
work, but it's gonna be clean work.
It's gonna feel like a coffin. Well, look, we started this conversation by you saying there was paneling underneath it that you might like or might want to keep.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was going for.
No, I never said that.
All right.
You implied it by saying I don't want to do any damage to the paneling.
If I pull the wallpaper off. My initial plan was pull the wallpaper off. Skim coat the paneling.
And you think
over.
I'm,
That's
you
what
think
I did
I'm
in the other
frustrated.
Room up there.
Why would you skim coat the paneling, by the way? That's a harder job than just to throw drywall.
Like it doesn't take the paint very well.
Yeah, I know. You're making your job harder.
What, skim coating it?
All right. Were you guys listening to this guy? I want to take the wallpaper off, but I don't want to use a steamer because I don't want to do any damage to the paneling behind it.
Which I want to drywall anyway.
I'm thinking about drywalling it. I'm going to skim coat the whole thing and paint it because it doesn't paint well.
Just rip the whole paneling off, then there's probably drywall underneath it.
Jesus Christ. All right, Craig.
There's two coats of drywall underneath, but it's like glued on there tight. I can't get that off.
Two coats of drywall?
Two coats of drywall?
It looks like...
Wait,
yeah.
You're really a project manager for a construction company? You're lying. Craig.
All right, I'm lying. There's two coats. There's two coats of it. It might be blue board, but there's two coats of it. We redid the windows.
Okay.
I have pictures of that. There's two
All right.
coats.
I'm gonna give you 20 seconds here. Would you like to keep this paneling if it was in good condition?
No.
Okay.
If I could pull it off and it came right off, I would pull it off, be done with it. I don't know. I can't get it off without.
Why are you worrying about damaging the paneling with your steamer if you want to pull off your paneling?
Because I can't get the paneling off, and if I damage it with the steamer, then I'm going to have a scraped up wood paneling wall that I'm going to end up going over anyway.
All right, what about skipping all
Does anyone have any idea what this guy would like other than a drywall? Which
yeah.
you could put over both the fucking paneling and...
I mean, Craig, the only reason to clean up the paneling is if you want to keep the paneling. You understand what Adam's saying, right?
Yeah,
so
no,
if you don't want to keep
exactly.
the paneling, then why are you even dealing with the paneling?
Okay, so I'm going to go over with quarter inch and be
don't
done
do quarter inch because it's going to undulate
too
much.
It's going to be wavy. Use 3/8.
Yeah?
Yeah, use 3/8.
Just go over the whole thing.
3/8?
3/8 on the whole thing. Right. Do your base, you know, cut it back and whatever you got to do.
Right.
And then you're done.
All right, and quick question for you.
There's ceiling nothing quick
not about
wall
you.
First.
No quick with Craig. What's going on?
No, ceiling or walls first?
What are you saying?
Ceiling. Oh, ceiling first. Ceiling first.
Ceiling,
ceiling
first?
Always
okay.
first.
Always
right.
first. Yeah. The reason right. The reason you always want to do the ceiling first is because the wall holds up the ceiling. You want to tuck it under that way. Know what I mean?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Thank you. God bless. All right. Where was I? Blinds galore. Now I'm in a better mood. Memorial sales only about a week away. Up to 50% off everything. Don't waste time. Order free samples today. And let's be ready. The sale starts Wednesday, May 24th. 100% custom-built windows, window treatments, I should say. I should start building windows, too. Why not? I just moved my next set. What blue did we go with? It's beautiful. We went with a blue. Was it like royal blue or azure blue?
Let me double check. I have it in my office.
Azure.
Paul Newman's eyes blue is what we went with. So they're over at the new space I built out so that the millennials could get going on the K-Rock dock. 100% custom built. Again, they got a team of experts. Do yourself a favor. Let's not let the sun come blasting in, bleach out the furniture. Nothing worse. Anything more depressing than the carpet that's been sun blasted? Ugh. Now, so we have them here. I have them at home. I have them in the bathroom. I did my bathroom this morning. I just dialed in a little light.
We went with navy.
Navy.
Ah.
Exotic navy blue. You know what I did? They sent over their samples. I walked over to one of my Newman race cars, and I held the swatch up next to the blue, and I went, this one's the closest. Let's go with that. Why not, man? See, that's what you
Big
do.
A with the aesthetic.
Go to blindsgalore.com, and remember, get the free samples now for the sale that starts May 24th, up to 50% off of everything. That's blindsgalore.com. All right, let's see. Insulation question.
I want to talk to Craig again. He was fascinating.
You know, look, we experienced Craig for 3 minutes that felt like 28 minutes, but we experienced Craig for a very short, brief, intermittent time. I always think about these people. What happens with their wives, with their kids, with their coworkers, where they're having these crazy, non-tracking discussions? You know what I mean? Like, he didn't and also kind of a weird life premise, which is I want to get rid of this drywall, this wallpaper, but I don't want to hurt what's behind it. Like, first off, why? My whole thing was like, you're going to have to redo what's behind it because somebody stuck a bunch of glue and wallpaper to it. So why not just get some of that vinegar and spray it on and scrape it off?
A lot of times that glue is what is it called? Starch? What is it?
I mean, like water based.
Yeah. So it's like if you get it damp and wet and steamed,
yeah.
like and if, even if the wood behind it is finished, it's not going to take off that varnish.
No.
It could look great.
It could.
You know, but with what he was going for, it's like he didn't want it anyway.
Nate, 33, Seattle. Let's see, I thought I punched him out. Let's try it again. Nate?
Hey.
Yeah, man. You got an insulation question?
Yeah, quick question for you, hopefully. We just moved into a house built in the 1950s in September, and we had a pretty brutal winter up here in Seattle as far as cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed the house was super drafty. I'm just trying to figure out what's the most efficient project to take on as far as keeping the house warm. It has original single-pane aluminum windows. It doesn't has very little, if any, insulation in the walls. And no insulation underneath the crawl space, no underneath the flooring. So I'm trying to figure out which of those three is going to be the most efficient in, you know, like I said, keeping my house warm.
Yeah, so, you know, I think you want to work easy to difficult or cheap to expensive. I've not found the batting underneath to be that, big a difference. I don't know why. I've kind of experimented with it a little. It's really about that just draft. It's that straight on, there's an opening.
Yeah.
You know, there's something coming through. I mean, obviously, hey, it'd be great if you had dual glazed windows, but you don't. It's a big project, pretty expensive. But you can find out where that draft is coming from on, you know, around doors, around windows, and all that kind of stuff. They have guys who come in and do the whole, like, you know,
with the infrared thing or the little
The infrared thing. There's a little powder smoker. There's a little smoker thing to see which way everything's drifting and all that kind of stuff. I've found that stuff up top works better than stuff down below. Like something like radiant barrier in hot places makes a big difference when you get up there. Bats of insulation up top are good, but you know,
but what do you do for like single pane 1970s?
You know what you do?
Do you make a baffle for it?
No.
A clear baffle and hang that?
They have stuff.
They have
like wraps, or for lack of a better term, like cellophane that you'd like wrap around. I mean, there's stuff for that. But I'm telling you, like the best thing, the first thing you can do is make sure all your mechanicals and everything that you're using for heat and the big stuff is working. Like, for instance, a flue that shuts and seals in your fireplace.
Right.
See, you can do all the double pane, whatever you want. But if you got a door, a front door where the sweep's bad and you can see half inch of daylight under there, it's just all coming in.
It's flowing.
So, yeah, it's flowing versus like small leaks or stuff that's just sort of emanates, you know, but you go by your fireplace and you're feeling it blasting through there because you got a dampener that's not sealing or spring loaded or set shut or whatever it is.
Or you might not even have one.
Look into that. Like, treat it. I'll tell you what.
And go from big to small, like Adam's saying.
Treat it like it's a boat and this is water. And you go to like where the big leaks are. Like, I guarantee that fireplace is a big hole in the side of your boat, and I can guarantee you that, like, under the door, around the door, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, if you want to get into the windows and things like that, you know, expanding foam or even doing that borax with the cellulose. They take the cellulose, they infuse borax into it. They spray it into the wall. You got to do a hole at the upper and a hole at the lower because of the fire block. You can get into all that. It's expensive. It can be messy. It doesn't always amount to a lot. So, you know, you think, oh, that's great. But you do all that to your wall and you don't get a good dampener on your fireplace. Screw it.
Not.
also, you make sure, and I'll tease this next tip. Hang on, Nate. I'm teasing it. I'm going to tell you about LifeLock. Ah, an email phishing scam targeted 1 million users of a document editing application to invite to open a document. Looked like it came from a known contact. Then they opened the file and they scanned. The scammers collected their information, including contacts. Oh, you hear about this stuff every day. This is the new... It's the new world order, identity theft. It's America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. Lynette has it. The kids have it. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. They detect your info. They send you an alert. There's a problem. They're U.S.-based. Their team's out here. Their agents out here. They do not outsource. They're out here in the U.S. of A. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Memberships start at just $9.99 a month, man. It's LifeLock, Matt.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com, save 10% now.
All right. Last tip for you, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
mechanical systems. Everybody's blowing the expanding insulation and cellulose and the radiant barrier and double pane windows. You go down to the basement and that air conditioning's working and you can feel the cold air just pushing out of the seams, you know, yeah. and around the thing. And, you know, first off, the guy was putting in that system in 1967 was not Elon Musk's dad. It's just some ex-con who couldn't give a shit, you know. So they're yeah. doing stuff like they're taking sheet metal screws and taking flanges and just screwing them down through the thing, but they're not putting caulk or goop or anything in there. Yeah, the tape's
metal tape's pretty good.
Metal tape's good, but they're using duct tape and it's cycled too many times and it's fallen apart.
Right.
And so you fire that thing up and you just go put your hand by the seams or by the whatever and you can just feel the cold or the hot, you know, just pushing out of there. So get the mechanicals up and running. Get the system tight.
Ductwork needs a lot of work.
Yeah, because you go, you know, you got that floor register. You got that duct that goes up to it. You go underneath the house. You can feel the hot air pushing out where it's not connected, right?
Right.
You're warming mm-hmm. your crawl space now. And meanwhile,
and that's inviting rats.
Everybody wants to talk about dual glazed windows, but let's do the big stuff. That's what I'm saying. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Big.
Yeah. Start with the mechanics and work out from there.
That's what I would do.
And you would recommend getting one of those infrared guys to come out and kind of do their thing?
I think you can even get it now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Go to Amazon. And make sure and click through aceontheroof.com.
Will do.
Yeah. Is that where you go? Yeah. Bookmark us, man. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We don't have any surveillance footage. No. All right. Well, tell Robbie.
He's still looking through it, I believe.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get him back to work. Now.
Okay.
It's weird, though. I don't know how it works. It's just you pick out Sunday. Don't you feel like you could just skim through that? I don't know anything about technology.
I don't know how the system works over there. It's different than the one we have here. The one we have here, yes, you can just kind of scroll through and it even highlights when there's activity on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming there may be something like that that exists on the computer version, but the app is garbage. All you can do is pick a time to start from and then play in real time.
Can't even fast forward.
Fast forward goes at like 1.5 seconds for every one.
Yeah, boy.
And there's no like go faster forward like on DirecTV where you boop, boop, boop.
Right.
No, none of that.
All right. Flex Wash. Home Depot has a new Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry. It's a washer dryer. It's a pair, man. We just watched a commercial. It's awesome. You can wash two loads and dry two loads at the same time. Love that, man.
Woo-hoo!
It's two machines in one. So you don't have to mix up the different colors and get everything all streaked out and screwed up. FlexWash, large capacity, lower washer for everyday washes. Additional washer up top for separate, for colors, for delicates. That's right. They got the large tumble dryer for the everyday items, and then they got the flat dryer for the delicates. Good. That's the way we should do it. And you don't have to keep toggling. So a lot of the switches, like you're doing the delicates, or you're doing the whites, or you're doing the whatever. No, just leave the one where it is, and leave the delicate on the delicate. They're two separate entities. Both are Wi-Fi connected. You can set and start the machines remotely and receive alerts when the load is finished. It's that good. Samsung Flex Wash, Flex Dry, available at the Home Depot, everybody. All right, you go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to find out anything about me doing live shows everywhere. Say hi to Lynette over at Carolla Drinks. I got the Seattle Bar Crawl. Ray's going to be there. That's coming up. M-Day is the code. You get free shipping on any orders of three bottles or more. That's until June 1st. The Bar Crawl is June 24th. So go to Carolla Drinks. Say hi to Ray. Maxi's going to be playing there. That's a new band. I'm not calling it Lox anymore. Why would Max Pata call his band Loxy? His name is Max Pata. I call it Maxi. And you go to iTunes, give us a nice 5-star rating over there. Watch us climb the charts. No safe spaces. Me and Dennis Prager. All the good stuff. So until next time, Adam Carolla, Ray Oldhofer,
and Matt, Orson Punish, Bob Fondelier, same. Mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Carolla Digital.